We turn to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 15. Hear now the word of the Lord, Romans 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me read that once more for us. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Recently, we had a sermon on another similar scripture, 2 Timothy, on fear, and I think we all responded well to it. We're in need of it. I know that many of us have referred to it together, myself included, afterward, to help us to face our fears. And I think that it, like anything, it's something we need a lot of frequent reminders of. It's so easy to fall right back into fear and forget how to conquer it in faith. There is a particular reason, as I'm doing topical sermons right now, as you know, that I've thought to come to this scripture, something that Fernanda and I learned this week during a educational video. We're they're live, but they're online classes for getting ready to have birth because we can't go to the hospital due to COVID-19. And there was something that I thought, wow, that is really helpful, and I think I want to pass that on to you today. We learned something about fear that is helpful to know how to handle fear and not let it keep you captive. Like having your hands and ankles tied with ropes and being chained to the wall, your movement completely limited, incapable of really making any progress anywhere. That's what fear is like. That's what our text says today. It's bondage. Fear is bondage. Fear is slavery. Fear paralyzes your life, it controls your life, and it completely limits your ability to live, let alone enjoy the abundant life Christ gives. But Paul says in our text, the spirit of the slavery of fear is not of God, and it can be cast away by the notions of God. I give that to you as the idea of our verse here. The spirit of the slavery of fear is not of God, and it can be cast away by notions of God. You can break the chains of the slavery of fear by thinking about the spirit of God that you have and all that's involved. Notions, that is, of God's sonship. That's what is focused on as the antidote, the opposite today, adoption. You cast away the chains of fear, you break them and throw them away because of faith in God who is your Father. You Christians have not received the spirit of slavery into fear or terror, you could translate it from the Greek terror. You've not received that spirit of fear, that slavery to it. It's not from God, and you shouldn't have it again. Notice the word again. Don't go back to fear and bondage, because we're so prone to do that, aren't we? Just as they were so prone to say, I want to go back to Egypt. But God said, I rescued you from bondage in Egypt. But how often did they say, as they had to trust God through the wilderness, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to being a slave. Even though they cried out to be rescued when they were there. And we have to be careful not to, again, he says, again, don't go back. Don't go back to living that way. Don't go back to living as if you have not been redeemed. That's a big danger for us, to struggle all the time with fear that we're not truly forgiven, we're not really redeemed. Don't go back to that as if you do not have the Redeemer in you. As if you are alone and powerless to confront and conquer your sins. Don't go back to that. That's not from God. That's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit of adoption. You don't run from your heavenly Father. You run to him. Because you have the Spirit of God and life in you, you no longer have reason to again fear God's condemnation. Verse 1. What should we not go back to? A fear of God's condemnation. Verse 1. We are not condemned. There's no condemnation for we who are in Christ Jesus. And then verses 3 through 13 teach in general, you have the Spirit of God's righteousness and life in peace inside you, the Spirit of Christ. And so you are free from returning to the fear of the grip of sin and death. There's an enormous freedom for us of that fear, but it's so ready there to grip us and make us act as if we are still slaves to it. Why especially? Because verse 15 says you have received the Spirit of adoption. Literally in the Greek, it's sonship. The word is actually saying we are sons. It's just like our English word sonship. That's literally the word. We are adopted. Thus, you can call out to God as Abba Father at any moment. You see that in verse 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. You don't have to run and hide from your Father. You can cry out to him always in your time of need through Christ. You can always be coming to God. You never have to be afraid to come to God. You never have to feel like you're alone. Even in times of discipline, right? Hebrews 12 says, be thankful you have a Father who disciplines you. Who disciplines you, shows you have a Father. You're never alone. He's always with you. He's always working in your life. Thus, you can call out to him as your Father in this adoption. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God. Verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see this language of adoption, sonship. He's our Father. We can pray to him. We have this spirit of adoption, and that does not leave any room for a spirit of bondage and fear. Let's stop for a moment and think about this. The God of the universe, the Almighty God, El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Most High God, El Elyon, is your Heavenly Father. There's no one higher or bigger. So why do we need to go back to the spirit of bondage and fear? We don't. You see, if you have the spirit of adoption in God, there's no place for fear of him. Instead of the spirit of the bondage of fear, turn to God as your Father. And look at all the application he makes of this. We're going to go ahead and read it all together because we need to be reminded. There's no place for the spirit of fear. There's no place for the slavery of fearfulness anymore, especially fear of coming before God, because God is our Father. Pardon me. We've been adopted by him. So look at all the benefits we have and how we should move forward with confidence and faith and strength. Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verses 23 through the end of the chapter. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice there in the end, the height and the depth of God's love. We can't be separated from that. Tonight we'll see what Paul says about, oh, that you would know the depth, the height, the breadth, the width of Christ's love for you. You know that, and the power of that love, that needs to replace and conquer your fears. Notice also that you have two intercessors in the scripture. It says the Holy Spirit on earth and the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for you. If you have the spirit of adoption in you, you have nothing to fear. Fear is not rational, not when you see it in all these contexts. You have the spirit of Christ in you, the spirit of adoption in you. You have all that power to face your fears and conquer them. Instead of the spirit of the bondage of fear, you have the spirit of adoption, thus of the sobering power of love. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, where we went to consider this idea last time. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to remind you, just as in Romans it says, God did not give us the spirit of fear. And you and I have to be ready to remember and say that. The spirit of fear I have right now, this wrestling with fear I have right now, is not of God. It's to bring me to God. It's to help me trust God, to work with God. But the fear itself of all these things, even the fear that God may not love me anymore or may still condemn me, that's not of God. That is not of God. But you and I are way too quick to make it our God, are we not? Because we serve whom we fear. And we somehow have this crazy sense of control with fear, just as with anxiety, when Christ forbids that as well. Fear is not of God. It will not have God's blessings. Throw it out, cast it off, because you are sons of God. Notice, twice it says we don't have the spirit of fear. That's not from God. What do we have? Instead, in Timothy, it says you have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. In our text today, Paul says, instead of the spirit of fear, you have the spirit of adoption. And of course, that spirit of adoption relates to that spirit of love Timothy talks about. There's no need to fear that you are not loved. Let me say that again. Beloved, there is no need to fear that you are not loved. God loves you, Christian. And again, you will see the awesome dimensions of this tonight as we look at Ephesians 3, focusing on verse 18. So cast away your bondage of fearing God's wrath, because of God's Son, you are God's sons. Thus, there's no need to approach him with any kind of ungodly fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Yeah, you want to torment yourself? Why would you do that? Why would you torment yourself? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now let's think about that for a minute. We can understand as parents how love casts out fear, can't we? For instance, we kind of joke that I could never be a doctor or a nurse. I'm not crazy about looking at, you know, operations. You know, Fernanda asked me, you don't want to watch some of the delivery? I said, no, thank you very much. I'll be standing right next to your head helping you. That's my job. Their job is to take out the baby and deal with everything that comes with it. And I've always joked, you want me to look? Guess what? They're going to be operating on me right next to you. I'll probably faint and knock my head on the ground. But, if one of our children is bleeding, it doesn't faze me for a minute. Abraham cut his finger open a while back, and it was nasty to look at. I knew immediately he needed stitches. Normally, that kind of thing, if some of you like to show me pictures, I'm like, no, I don't want to see that. But when my son, whom I love, is injured, nothing happens to me except I'm taking you to the hospital, and I'm going to take care of you right now. Let me see it. I'm going to wrap it up. It doesn't faze me for a minute. That's what love does. It casts out fear. And your love for God and his love for you can just cast out fear. It can take over the moment. It can take over how you feel and say, I'm not going to be afraid because God loves me. He's my Father. He's given me power and a sound mind, and I don't wish to torment myself any longer. But Satan is always going to say, yeah, but, you know, did you think about this? Satan's always going to be putting those little seeds of fear back into your head. Yeah. Cast it out! Paul says, we don't do that again. We don't go back there. That's not of God. Throw it out of your head. We're going to think about a way to do that in a moment. Cast off the fear of God's wrath and curse by faith in God's love. Don't let fear be your master. Don't let fear enslave you in chains and chain you up against the wall. Which is exactly what happens to us when we let fear take over. We become slaves. Especially, don't let the fear of the condemnation of God enslave you. God is your master through Christ. And in the Son, he has set you free indeed as your Father, not as your judge. God is in you, so you have no reason to fear. Beloved, try to hear this. Fear is unreasonable. Fear is irrational. I'm not saying there are not real situations of fear that cause us fear, but then we have to decide what to do with it. And the irrational response is to remain in fear and chain yourself against a wall. Fear is futile. It accomplishes nothing except for Satan, who would bind you. We got a lesson from the nurse in this live class on Wednesday about how to work through the pain of childbirth, and she began immediately with dealing with the fear of pain. And she gave this acronym that I thought was so helpful, and I confess is the impetus of this sermon today, because I wanted to share it with you. Here's the acronym, F-E-A-R, fear. F, frequent. Frequent. E, exaggeration. Exaggeration. A, about. R, reality. Fear is frequent exaggeration about reality. Is that not the case, beloved? How many times are we afraid of what we don't know? How many times are we afraid putting something in the past into our future when we have no real notion of what's going to happen? We're not God. We're not all-knowing. And we start to think that God, I guess, is not all-powerful. Doesn't fear exaggerate the situation? We often start to worry. You hear a text, you see an email come in, and you think it's about something, you get all worried, and then you're afraid to read it, and then you finally do, and oh, it's not even what I thought it was. But that fear started to take over. It's irrational. It exaggerates in your mind about what reality really is. And even when there are real scary things to face, we still allow ourselves to exaggerate the situation because we don't think about the reality of our mighty God over it. We exaggerate Satan's power. We exaggerate the influence of the situation. We exaggerate and say, there's no hope. I can't. We exaggerate it all. The reality is God's in control of everything. The reality is nothing is too big for God. The reality is nothing is impossible for God, and the Spirit of God's sonship is in you. So whatever it is that you're facing, real scary things. Psalm 56, David is dealing with real scary stuff. He's afraid, but what does he say? I'm really afraid, so I'm going to stay afraid. I'm going to lock myself up in torment. No, he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. I will replace my fear with faith. We're not making light of really scary things. We're saying, what is the rational way to respond to it? Faith, not fear. Because fear of anything, including the fear of God's condemnation for a Christian, is not of him. It is the bondage and slavery of Satan. And if you want to torment yourself with that, shame on you. If you want to make that your idol that you bow to because it feels safer and like you have more control, shame on you. Shame on you for not choosing to walk in the power of Almighty God as more than conquerors, trusting what Paul says. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. You have an intercessor in earth and an intercessor in heaven. You don't have words to speak, no problem. The Holy Spirit will speak for you, and the Father will receive it because you are his adopted son in Christ. Just as we take our children sometimes and they don't know what to say, but they clearly need us to hold them, and we say, that's okay, and we interpret their tears and their crying, and we comfort them. There is absolutely no reason to insist on feeling and being alone. And if it isn't chains and ropes, we build walls around ourselves and we create our own prison cell of fear. And it's not of God, it is of Satan. And it's time to break down the walls and break the chains. It's all bondage, evil, sinful, satanic slavery. Frequent exaggeration about reality. Don't let fear exaggerate your situations. Don't let things become bigger than they really are. It's never bigger than God, who is in control over it and who has ordained it. Especially, don't be fearful about your relationship with God. Replace your fear with frequent expressions about redemption. I got a little creative there. Maybe I should instead give you an acronym of FAITH. How about we look at that for something in a near future sermon? Replace your fear of sin and death and condemnation with faith in the reality of God's adopting love and fatherly promises. Whatever scary thing you may be going through, trust in the reality of God's sovereignty over it and within it and within you and for your good. To conform you to the image of Christ. His fatherly care. Another lesson we learned in this video last week. So we learned of this acronym FEAR, so we stop it. The fear of pain, particularly. We exaggerate the reality of what it is to be. Doesn't mean it isn't significant or serious, but one of the dangers is we exaggerate it in our minds so much it becomes much more painful than it really needs to be. The nurse shared a brief video by Michael Koopland, and it was about a pain gate to cope with pain. It's this idea of a pain gate, a way to cope with pain. And he said to do this, and we did it. And the children tried it later, and they're like, whoa, it works. Bite your lip. Now, you don't have to do this, but if you want to, or do it later, bite your lip for 5 seconds.
Bite your lip and bite down hard enough that you feel pain, maybe to level 5, he says. Whatever is your level 5 of pain, bite down on your lip. Don't worry, it hurt, and I thought I bit my lip, but I didn't. You just get an indentation. Bite until you feel pretty good pain, level 5. And then clench your fist. It's amazing. Even as I did that right now, the pain left my lip. No kidding. Try it out. It works. As soon as you clench your fist, by the way, I always do this when I go to the dentist and they're about to stick a needle in my teeth. And it helps. And I learned it from public speaking because, did you know, the greatest fear in the world, higher than the fear of death, is the fear of public speaking. And I learned in public speaking class, when you have all this anxiety and fear, squeeze your hand and focus all your energy. There's plenty of times I've done that behind the pulpit before I stepped up to preach to you, by the way. I'm telling you, it's amazing. You bite your lip. Abraham did this. He's like, whoa! And then he says, after you do that, wave your hand. Wave your hand. Wave it, wave it. And the pain, it just is gone. Really, you don't feel it. Try it out later. I dare you to try it. Don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid. Okay. Here's the thing. He explains that two sets of nerves that you have, the smaller nerves are the pathways of the pain to your brain. The larger nerves are the pathways of movement to your brain. And we have this survival instinct. When we have pain or fear, the more important instinct to run away overcomes the feel of the pain. If we act on it, we redirect it. And the nurse showed us with a diagram, a picture, a drawing that the movement of the nerves that go to your brain for pain, they don't go as fast as the movement of the nerve information for movement. So basically, here comes the pain information to your brain, but if you start to move, that gets ahead. And that movement, just physically, scientifically, that gets to your brain, gets there first and blocks the effects of the pain information when it gets there. It isn't that it completely blocks it. It isn't that there's no pain to deal with, but it makes it far more able to handle it and not let it overcome you. You gate out the pain, is what they say. The movement nerves override the nerve pain, and it works. Abraham tried it particularly, and he's like, even before I got to the handshake, as soon as you squeeze it, he's like, whoa, that works. I said, I know, it's amazing. Now, it's just like Fernanda's friend. She finally had her baby, whom we've been praying for, 10-pound baby. Yeah, 2 weeks late, and Fernanda said she birthed a little elephant. Don't let her hear the sermon, please. But we won't record that part. But sorry for that. But she was impressed because she was able to do it naturally. And this isn't to make judgments or comments anywhere. It's just that was her desire. And she was able to do it, this large baby, naturally. And guess what? She said it wasn't that bad because her husband knew how to push on pressure points in her body. And as he pushed on those pressure points, it really diffused the labor pains. And the thing is, it's the same with fear. You push. Wave your hands. You know, I used to joke, my dad used to say this, Dad, oh, I hurt my hand. Come here, I'll step on your toe, and you won't think about your hand anymore. You know, it's sort of like that, only not as mean, right? You know, you replace, you do something different. You redirect your thoughts, your energy, your movement. You don't just stand there and go, ah! What's the point of that? You move. You redirect it. You dodge it. You move. We're not making light of the pain, it's real, but there is a way to get ahead of it and to control and to be in charge of it, because too many institutions in this world train us today to think we're complete victims, to just sit there and take their artificial ways of dealing with it. This is not making a comment that it may sound like, but what it is saying is you are more than conquerors. God has designed your body, and he's put the spirit of sonship in you, and there are ways for you to deal with fear. Which is fear not extremely painful if we let its vice grip in upon our wrists and our throats and our feet and tie us tighter and tighter and tighter, closer against the wall? So when you feel afraid, beloved, trust in God, Psalm 56, verse 3. And when you fear afraid, praise him. That's what he's doing. I'm not going to sit here and just
Let the fear take me over. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to redirect my fear. I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to bow before you. You are God alone, not fear, not the fearful circumstances. I'm going to praise you. Praise him. Lift your hands up. Move them. Maybe you don't shake your fist at God, but open up. Move them. And bite your lip when you feel like expressing anxiety. Wave your hands in the air and praise the Lord. I'm not speaking just figuratively, beloved. Do it. Get up. Walk around the room. How often do we just chain ourselves to our beds? Get up, walk around the room, wave your hands, redirect your thoughts in the fear and love of God, and you will no longer feel the fear of his condemnation or that of the world or anything else. Oh, it'll be there, it'll have its sensations, it will affect you, but you will have power over it because you have the power of the sonship of God and his love in it. And you go like this, all that fear that's bound you up tight. I'm going to praise him, and boom, it's gone. It's that simple. It's that fast. It's that fast. Satan will have you think it isn't, because he wants to control your life. Who is your God? Jesus Christ. Have faith in him. Feel your freedom in Christ, and cast off the bondage of fear. And that is the message for you this morning, beloved. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Beloved, cast off the bondage of fear. Let us pray. Lord God, you are God alone, and you alone are our God, and we bow before you in all of your glory and power, and we confess our sins of letting fear take us over too often and making it an idol along with its twin sister, worry and anxiety. Lord, we do not make light of the difficulties of this world, real fearful situations and real pain. But we are seeing here today there's a way to deal with it. We are not left unto ourselves. We are not left in the dungeon of despair. We are not left to suffer the bondage of fear. We are not left to have to be tied up in the grip of sin and death and the fear of your condemnation. We have the spirit of God's adoption in us. We have the spirit of Christ, of the peace and life of God in us. So, Lord, help us when we start to feel fear gripping us. Let us break its chains and cry that we are free. And if the Son has set us free, then we are free indeed. Lord, help us not to believe the lies of Satan. Help us not allow the feelings and pain of fear to get ahead. Let us jump up and dance around the room and praise our God, lifting our hands, singing psalms, quoting your scriptures such as these, and take control of the moment, to take control of ourself, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit itself. And help us to be more than conquerors, knowing nothing that we face can separate us from your love, and nothing that is happening to us is not from you for our good. And even if we struggle with words, we can cry out, and the Holy Spirit will speak for us, and Christ will intercede for us, and the Father will hear and answer. Oh, Lord, thank you that you have made us your sons. You do not turn away your children who are in union with your Son. So let us not act as if we've been cast out into the darkness. Instead, let us cast off the dark, the influence of darkness by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Put your light in our eyes that our whole body would be full of light, that we would see we are free. Let us focus and let us conquer, that we would not have frequent exaggerations about reality, because you are in control. And you're using all things for our good. And you've given us all that we need to move forward in faith. Lord, we say together, what time we are afraid, we will trust in thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray, and all your people said, in faith, amen.